You cannot have a pure heart as a natural man. Every heart of the natural person, man, is evil. Period. So there is no such thing as a person who's natural, who is not evil continually, even though he's never at peace. Because he has something written on his heart, which is the law of God, which says, don't eat of that tree. Don't try to figure out what right and wrong is. Always come and ask me. And the first thing we do is don't ask him. We don't do what he says, and then we want to hide it. As soon as we do wrong, we hide. Not just from people, we also hide from ourselves, which is really treacherous. So that even I don't know that I knew that. Did I do that? Did I do wrong? I remember Pancho Villa, the movie. And I remember a classic line in the movie was, Johnny, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? I love it. He had been, you know, murdering people and, you know, living around a debauched type of life and so on. And then he was just doing that. And Johnny said, you know, you're in trouble now. What did I do? I'm just trying to do the right thing. Nobody is trying to do the right thing. Only God is good. Are you all aware of that? You're not good. Nobody here is good. Nobody is good. You might do good outwardly, but it's outwardly, and your heart is not in it. And if you're a natural man, even in sin, you're still not ever at peace about anything you do because you have two wills, not one. Even when you want to do evil, you also know you should not. So now you're divided in your heart, you're divided in your soul, you're divided. You're a contradiction to yourself. Is everybody aware of that? There's always several voices in you, but at least two, enough to always disturb you. Now, God is saying to his people, Israel, who have been sinning all over the map. And remember, they were the ones chosen out of the nations of the world to be the light, just like America. Just like America. America, you know, started out as a Christian, wanted to follow God and do the right thing and so on. But we have gotten a little off. We've gotten a little off. And thank God there's still a church here. Good people. No. It's the church that's the problem. We're not the solution, we're the problem. Because we won't confess our sins. I know you're the righteousness of Christ. I know you're born again. I know that. God knows that. We all know that. So, it's not he who begins, but he who endures. There's your problem. You don't want to endure. You don't like suffering. You're just like the world. You're selfish. You know, thinking about yourself instead of throw your life away. Just submit to God. Go to God. You don't know what right and wrong is. Let God decide. Well, I tried to do my best. You're a liar. You never tried to do your best. I did. I really did. Honest. I'm telling the truth. You just lied. And that's the first group in hell. The fearful, the liars, those that are hiding. Now, the reason I'm saying all this bad news is because the bad news is you ate of the wrong tree. And Christians, even though they're born again, and in their heart they're pure. But a pure heart leads to willing one thing, not two, three, four, five. One thing, only to please the Lord. So the pure in heart shall see God. If you're pure in heart, all you want to do is see the Lord. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none on earth that I desire beside thee. I don't want anything but you. I don't want a good husband. I don't want a good wife. I don't want a good marriage. I don't want a good job. I don't want anything but you. You're my life. And whether I live or die, I don't care because I have you. That's not where the church is. So even though people are born again, they still live in pagan terms. They still have the language of pagans. Why'd you do that? Stop that. That is the language of paganism. You haven't learned the Bible language yet, which is, oh, it's all right. I forgive you. Don't worry about it. You're forgiven. I've forgotten it already. I don't even bring it up. I won't think about it at all. I just love the Lord. That's all that matters to me. That's the language of heaven, is praise, adoration. constant, continual thanksgiving unto God. I'm so thankful and grateful. I don't care what you just did or didn't do. I'm not measuring you. You are not under any law. I'm not holding you up to some standard and you didn't meet it. How many people know that Christians are often uncomfortable with not Christians? You know, what if he becomes president? What if so-and-so, he's a bum. He's no good. Why do you judge? Why aren't you just pleased that you yourself are no better than anybody else? Well, I haven't done that. Really? How much did you done? Well, I did a little, but not a lot. You're a liar. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Remember, the standard is not bell-shaped curve, you know, I'm somewhere on the curve. No, the standard is absolute perfection, absolute purity. God only has one standard, Him. The only way you get into heaven is to be exactly like Him. If you're not perfect, you don't get in. If you have one spot, one wrinkle, one blemish, one stain, one, just one day, 1 second, one day, you're out. How many know that that's the standard? God revealed that in the Old Testament when He gave the law that's written on your heart, by the way, is you're not allowed to get even one sin. He won't accept you. I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, how many know that's the standard? He's not going to change it. Well, I've been a lot better than other people. I do go to church, you know. I do. I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I think I've kept 16 of them. There's something faulty there. God wants all men to be guilty. All. He wants you to admit you are, therefore admit it. Come clean. Just stand before Him naked. Stand before Him without one plea. Just as I am without one plea. You don't have a plea. You are not perfect. You are not. Now, if that's all there was, we'd all be doomed, and that's why the first 39 chapters have to do with Israel sinning. Israel was the best of the best of the best. You know, she wasn't into all of the pagan religions and the pagan debauchery and immorality and injustice and so on. She had God's word, she had God's truth, she had God's laws. She knew everything that was supposed to do, you're supposed to do, you're supposed to do, you're supposed to do. I mean, no, just because you're supposed to do something doesn't mean you did it. Yeah, you were supposed to be perfect. You were supposed to be the light to the nations. You were supposed to be, just like America, beacon to the world and all that kind of stuff. Those are just words. He isn't into supposed to. Well, I wanted to be better. I intended to be good. That doesn't count. You either are or you aren't. He's just going to say one thing at the last day. Well done. He's never going to say well believed. Oh, you were such a believer. It was amazing. And you wanted to be a Christian, didn't you? I did. I really did. You're so sweet. No. God is going to condemn you for believing and for willing but not doing. He'll just reject you. He's only going to say, well done. He's not going to say, well believed. Oh, you believed so much. You believed everything I wrote. You're so sweet. How many know that God is a ruthless judge? If you're going to be under the left hand and talk about the law, what you did and didn't did, obedience and disobedience, if that's the issue, you're finished. Because his only purpose was that you be perfect over here. Nobody ever was and never has been. Now, I have preached this a couple of other times. I have mentioned that, and the reason is because some of you haven't caught on yet. That there's no good thing in you. None. Not your thoughts, not your deeds, not your words, not your imaginations. Nothing. So, you say, but I have faith, Pastor. I have faith. Okay, but it's not he who begins. Well, I have faith. I said it's not he who begins. Well, I have faith. It's still not he who begins. It's he who endures to the end. In other words, it isn't enough to say, well believed. You're really a believer. When you heard about Jesus dying on the cross, you believed every word of it. I admit that. You did. But you know what? He's not going to judge based on your belief. He's going to judge your heart and your soul and your deeds based on what that heart did. Is your faith active? Is your faith working, doing something, bearing some kind of fruit? Because when men see your good works, they'll give glory to the Father. Is that what you did? Did you do good works so that the Father would be glorified? You didn't do them anyway. You were just a vine. You were just a branch. He was the vine. He's the one that did them. You didn't did them. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Now, if Christ is living in you, he's not going to be doing sin. So how many know that Christians still sin? How many know that Christians, people that are born again, spirit-filled, you know, go to Pastor Jim's church, get all that stuff, it doesn't help. It does not make any difference. It doesn't matter. What God wants is purity of heart, which then leads to purity of soul, which then leads to purity of life. He wants a pure life. Because men can't see your heart. They can't even see your soul. They can't see what you want. They can only see your deeds. When men see your good works as outward, not inward. So if you have a pure heart, but you're still not walking in it, you should be repenting. Book of Revelation is all about repent, 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 repent. It's all about repenting. He's talking to his church. He's not talking to the world repenting. He's talking to the church repenting, who repented once, but they aren't repenting on a daily basis. You like the Laodicean church, which says, you know, hey, I'm seeing everything. I'm doing pretty good. He said, you are blind. You are wicked. You are, you know, you don't have anything going for you. Why are you, you're naked. You need to clothe yourself. You don't have any clothing. I do. I believe in Jesus. I know you believe in Jesus, but what has it done? What has it done? That's God's part. He didn't do his part, I guess. No, God doesn't do it for you. He will never force what's good. I'm going to say it again and again and again and again and again. He will never, ever force what's good. He will never force what's good. He'll tell you what's wrong, but he won't force what's good. He'll tell you what's wrong, but he won't force what's good. Remember Jesus said these words? He said these words. Look over here, everybody. Is that that baby we dedicated last week? Has that been a good baby since then? Yeah. I love that. That baby will go to heaven. So the only way you go is by the mercy of God and then the power of God, and you can't do either of those. You can't be merciful to yourself, nor can you be powerful in yourself. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to do what you could not do. It's not to help you do what you can do. He's not helping you do something. He's a helper, but he's doing it all because what he's doing to help you is show you Jesus, show you Jesus, show you Jesus, who does forgive all your sins, but you have to confess them. I know there are some Christians that feel that, well, once you're a Christian, you know you're the righteousness of Christ, therefore you don't have to confess. Really? How come it says confess? Well, that's because I don't know why. Well, it says confess because you should confess. If you're a Christian, you're the most aware of your sin. The Holy Spirit is in you to show you all the unholy. He's not just pointing out Jesus, who is holy. He's also pointing out your flesh needs to be crucified every single day. I die daily, Paul says. And his goal was every man mature. Every man mature is not just believer. Every man mature is justified, sanctified, glorified. Justified, sanctified, glorified. Dikaios, hagios, doxa. Dikaios, hagia, doxa. The Greek words are different. They're not just one thing. To be holy means to be holy, holy, holy. Remember in the Old Testament, the angels sang, holy, holy, holy. There's a reason for it. Three different words. They're not the same. It's not just, it's be holy in your spirit, be holy in your soul, be holy in your body, be holy. In other words, everything about you should be nothing but Jesus, your whole life. Now, I'm not telling you what you ought to do. I'm telling you who you are. If you're a believer, that's who you are. Now, the fact that you're not doing it does raise a question. I wonder why I'm not doing it. I must still be a pagan. Well, that is a possibility. The other one is you haven't been well taught. But I know that's not true. So Why is it that thou art not yet perfected? Because it's not going to happen in this world. Nevertheless, 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 on a daily basis you need to die. So you're either, hallelujah, praise the Lord, or you're confessing your sins. God, I see a new sin in me today. How many know you could find one a day at least? You could find one a day at least. Now, you don't have to even find it. The Holy Spirit will show it to you. Just go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know of anything evil in me. Could you show me? You think you could find one? If there be any wicked way in me, could you discover it? How many know that the Holy Spirit will oblige? He will be happy to oblige you. He is not going to say, no, I'm not going to show you your sin. You find it. He's not going to say that. He will be glad if you really mean it. What if you don't mean it? What if you just say it, but you don't mean it? He won't do it. He's not going to do it. The Holy Spirit, I really, really mean it this time. Now, just because you say it doesn't mean you mean it. How many know that the Holy Spirit can see the difference between your mouth and your heart? So if in your heart, from a pure heart, you go, Holy Spirit, I don't know whether I mean it or not, but just do it anyway. Okay, that's okay. He understood that one. Because you're not now relying upon your psychological state. I felt I was really sincere. That doesn't mean anything. How many know that deceivers always sound sincere? Adolf Hitler was sincere about eliminating all the Jewish people. He was sincere. What does sincere have to do with anything? It just means he was determined to do it. So what? He did not do it. God stoppeth him as he stops all injustice in this world. God is not into injustice having a long life. Now, we've had a whole world full of injustice, and America now is also among those nations that have turned away from God, forgotten God. God is on the way out. I don't know if you know it, but as far as the educational system is concerned, it's a post-Christian world. We've gotten beyond that. We don't need that crutch anymore. We're now taking full responsibility for ourselves. We don't have a God, and we're not going to say there is one. Young people today, they are more cold about it than their parents, who are more lukewarm about it. Well, I don't know. I say, you know, I still believe in God. Are you hot? Well, no, I'm not hot, but I would say I'm not cold. Jesus said, if you aren't hot or cold, I'd rather you be hot or cold. I can do something with the cold. At least they know that they're wicked to the hilt. I can at least save them. But you, lukewarm, spew you out of my mouth. I have nothing to do with you. You're nothing. You're a liar. You are cold, pretending to be hot when you're not. If you're hot, you're hot. How many know when you're hot, you're hot? How many know when you're hot, you're hot? I mean, you just are. When you're in love with Jesus and there's nothing else in your life, no one can disturb you. No one can bother you. No one can mess you up. I don't care how people try to, you know, torture you and control you and dominate you and criticize you and so on. They can't get to you if you know Jesus loves you. If Jesus loves me, what do I care what church members think, what Satanists think, what Muslim extremists think? I don't really care. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's my whole life. That's not just, for me, a word. That is my whole life. I really believe I'm loved, not as a good person, not as a deserving person, not as a wondrous person, but as someone that believes Jesus was good, and he is deserving, and he is wondrous, and he is worthy to be praised. So I talk to him a lot. Why? Because I need him. I need thee every hour. Why? Because I need him every nanosecond. I mean, if I didn't have Jesus holding me up, I'd be doomed. I'd be finished. I'd be over. You see that? So I totally love him because he first loved me. He's the guy that looked at me, a guy that didn't deserve anything, and he said, I love that. I love him. I said, Jesus, you're crazy. You're crazy. I'm not worthy. How many know that we're not worthy? And God likes that. Like, never forget that. You're not going to become worthy because you're a believer. A believer does not make you worthy. And then I'm going to be a disciple. That still doesn't make you worthy. I'm going to do the works of God. It still doesn't make you worthy. You will always be not worthy. You will always be in need of the mercy of God, which is forever and ever. The mercy of the Lord endures forever and ever and ever. Did you know His mercies are new every morning? Why do we need them every morning? I mean, didn't He die on the cross? Isn't that the end of it? No, because the Creator of the world, who's the Holy One, is also the merciful God, who's the Redeemer, who is also the most powerful one through the work of the Holy Spirit to finish and restore and complete everything in you. Jesus didn't complete everything in you. The Father created you, but He didn't complete everything. Jesus didn't do it either. He just redeemed you so that now you're a believer, but it's just imputed. You still haven't changed. But the Holy Spirit, He's the one that changeth you. How? From glory to glory. From glory to glory, day by day, constantly. How many know you still have sin in you? Even though you're a believer. If anyone says he's in Christ and doesn't also say, I've sinned, is a liar. In fact, you make God a liar. 1 John 1:7-9. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we maketh God a liar. Well, I'm the righteousness of Christ. Oh, I love it. You mean you have a new spirit? Well, yeah. Well, do you have a new soul? Yeah, I'm the righteousness of Christ. Well, I don't think that means you have a new soul. Do you always have pure thoughts? Yeah. You just lied. And no, you don't. And your deeds don't show it, by the way. And your wife doesn't know it either. How many know that people sin? Whether they're pagans, or whether they're Christians, or newborn Christians, or young men Christians, or mature father Christians, we still sin. Even mature fathers, even someone like David, a man after God's own heart, sinned. The guy was a man after God's own heart. He wrote 50 psalms. Beautiful psalms inspired by God, and yet he still committed adultery and murder and every other sin in the book. How many know that the most mature Christian could still sin? Paul said, I'm not yet perfect. I don't judge myself even. I let God take care of that. I just confess my sins daily. Why? We sin every day. Now, you might not like that because you want to be able to say, once saved, always saved. Yeah, well, once you are, but you aren't. All that was saved was your spirit. All that was saved was you've believed in Jesus. That's good. That's a good start. But it's only a start. So we don't teach here that salvation is a one-time event. We teach that it's a continual process until the very end when the trumpet blows. When the trumpet blows, everybody that's a believer, that was a disciple, that actually walked in love, will then have a new body and a new soul at that moment. You don't get your new body and your new soul until that moment. So how many know in this world we're still daily learning to know the Lord? Daily. And so don't bawl yourself out for goofing up. That's normal. It's normal that you every once in a while think to yourself, today could be my day. This could be the day. This could be my day. No, that is normal that you do that. Pride doesn't go away just because you're a believer. Anger doesn't go away just because you're a believer. Impatience doesn't go away just because you're a believer. How many know it didn't go away when you baptized? You went down under the water, came back up. I'm so patient. I'm not angry at anyone. No, just because you went under the water, when you come up under the water, it's spiritual. Spiritually you are. You're a new creation. I know that. But that doesn't mean yet it has affected all the... the battle's over, but there's still the war's over, but the battle still has to, you have to do some cleanup yet. And so your spirit is pure because you're believing in Jesus. You're not trusting in you. But you will still, on a daily basis, love God but not trust Him yet. You don't trust Him yet to take care of you when you lose your job. You don't trust Him yet that He will provide all your needs. You don't trust Him yet that everything's going your way. You don't trust Him yet to be joyful all the time, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're not trusting Him quite yet. You still trust yourself, what you see, what you think, what you want, what you desire. You're still trusting in yourself on a daily basis. Amen? Now, this word in the, this is suddenly breaks the whole book of Isaiah, which had, he just pointed out their sin. Repent, quick, repent. And they wouldn't do it. Israel would not repent. How many know Israel's stubborn and stiff-necked? Because they're Jewish. Jewish people are stubborn and stiff-necked. How many know that that's true? How many know Jewish people? If you know somebody, they're just like that. They're stubborn and stiff-necked. Thank God you're not Jewish. And if you are, you're stubborn. You see what I'm saying? No, we're all alike. Irish people are stubborn. Even when they're, you know, whiskeyed, they're still stubborn, stiff-necked. Do you know that Chinese people are like that? They are. Samoans, and they have a nice life. They're like that. Everybody's like that. You know why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what God wants to do is not just say, stay that way. What he wants to do is say, I won't force you. I want you to submit to me, trust me. I'm the one that saved you. You believed in me. Now I want you to disciple you, chasten you, send you through the fire, and get all your sin burned up today. And then tomorrow we'll start again. And the next day we'll start again. How many know that God wants to do that on a daily basis? It's almost like he's hogging your whole life. I mean, it's almost like he doesn't want you to even have a life of your own. How many can see that? That God is, but he won't force. Now, I say he won't force. It has to be voluntary. And maybe one day you do it and you think, you know, I think I've had 3 days now that I've been a good Christian. I'm not going to do it on Thursday. I'm not going to do it. And you think, you know, I deserve a little vacation. After all, I've been good for 2-3 whole days. I think I now should go to the mall and just lust after stuff for a while. Get normal again, and then I'll go back to Jesus. How many know that God wants you to give up your whole life? How many know nobody's going to do that? Nobody's going to do that. Not even Christians are going to do that. Not even though when you said, from now on, I will live for Jesus. Even though you said that, you didn't know what you're talking about. Because food will become big to you. And beauty and vanity and wealth and all those things will come and get you again, even though you're a Christian, even though you're a Christian, even though you're a Christian. And even though you meant it when you said it, you now, something new has come up. Somehow things have changed and you're hungry now. And you weren't hungry when you first said it. Now, you know, every day you're going to be lusting for something. I mean, he's aware of that. So only God, every day you come to him every day, start all over again. God, here I am at Mount Sinai. God, here I am at Mount Calvary. God, here I'm on Mount Zion. Yoo-hoo! Okay, every day you got to go through that little process. How many know that you have to do that? Every day go see all your sin, get it all forgiven. Number two, go to the cross, make sure the blood covers you. Number three, start dancing and singing and following the Holy Spirit and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles and so on. But every day you can start again. Every day you got to start again. How many know that that could wear you out? That could be wearing after a while. And there are people that say, you know, I've been a Christian for so long, I think I deserve a little sin, a little bit of sin. Yes, I'm getting angry right now, but I haven't been angry for years, and I'm getting it out. Thank you for helping. I tell you what, you cannot stop sin from coming forth. But what you can do is let the Holy Spirit convict you, immediately say, you know what, I'm wrong. You know what, I'm not right. I'm a Christian. I'm not giving that part up. I know Jesus loves me. But right now, though I don't love him, I believe I'm a new man in Christ. And now you start building yourself up. I am a new man in Christ Jesus. I'm not me. I'm this me, not this me. How many know you have that little struggle all the time? Which me are you? Am I the old me trying to behave myself and failing? Or am I the new me that never sins or does wrong? You're looking at me blank. There is an answer. Okay. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The old has passed away. The new has come. So which one are you? Now, if you stay right here on the right hand of God, on the right side of God, if you stay right here and keep remembering daily, continually, who you are, That is, who he is in you. That is, you're a branch, he's the vine, and therefore you're bearing fruit because of him. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then I have no excuse for when I don't. Then, every day I need to grow in that knowledge that Christians still sin, but they don't get caught up in the sin because they just simply say, God, forgive me. Thank you. People won't, but God will. How many know that Christians even won't forgive you? Christians will not forgive you unless they've just been freshly convicted. Most Christians will judge you too. God, I thought you were mature. I thought you were my Sunday school teacher. Look what you just did. You know, and it can make you disappointed in people that you know. Remember when Noah got drunk after the ark thing, and he was, you know, happy to get that grape thing going, and it took him several years to get that thing really going so that his wine was fermenting, and he decided to have a little party. You've never forgiven him? So Ham, his youngest son, happened to come in and see his father naked because he, you know, was drunk, he's plastered, and he was out of control. And he respected his dad up until that moment. All of a sudden, a great horror came over him, like, you're disgusting. Now, he didn't just see his father, he saw him. Do you understand what I just said? He didn't just see him that he was naked. It wasn't the nakedness that was the problem. It was that he saw him and was disgusted. God, you're not my father. Did you know that when you're one you love and respect sins, that gives you an opportunity to judge him? You know what I'm just saying? I thought you were somebody to respect. You're disgusting. Now, he didn't have to say any words, and I'm sure he didn't. But he was thinking it. As he looked upon his father, he was disgusted with him. Did you know that when you're disgusted with people, you're not of God? God is not disgusted when the church sins. He's actually still in love with her. His thoughts toward her are always thoughts of peace. He wasn't disgusted. I'm so disappointed in you. You know, God is never disgusted, disappointed in you, ever. Or any sinner. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Pharaoh, Nimrod, Esau. He's not disgusted. Never has been. Never will be. You don't know that God's right hand is his heart. His left hand was just his mind. As a matter of fact, he never intended for you to not sin. He never wanted you to sin, but he won't force it. And he knew that you would sin. If he put the tree in the middle of the garden, so you'd have to pass it every day. If he put that tree in the middle of the garden every day, and I'm not sinning. And he knew you would sooner or later stop and look at that tree and say, what was God thinking? What's wrong with this tree? It looks as good as other trees. I think this is a better tree, as a fact. You know, it's actually, this is a good tree. I wonder if God is right about that. And then she passes on. And then one day she just goes, you know what? I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to touch it. And then the next day she goes, I can touch it anytime I want to. Nothing happened. I'm not dead. And then she decides, I'm just going to lick it. I didn't eat it. I did not eat. Technically, I did not eat. Now, how many know that Eve was ruined already before she disobeyed the exact thing God said? He wasn't talking about eating. He was talking about the heart trusting in God to know right and wrong rather than us pretending like we're God and we know what is right and wrong for ourselves and for others. You don't know anything. You have to ask God. When your wife comes against you, you don't know that that's bad or good. So you have to ask God, God, what she just said, was that good? Jim, you know that was not good. I know, that's what I thought. You agree with me. Does she need a lesson taught? Jim, she does. She does need a lesson. Okay, are you going to do it right now? No, I'm going to be a little bit merciful and slow to anger. Okay. But if she does it one more time, I'm telling you, God, I'm going to teach her a lesson good because you're too slow to anger. And how many know that we take it into our own selves from time to time to decide what good and bad is? I did it for her good. How many know that most people do what they do for your good? They don't want to say, well, I was to hurt you. I wasn't trying to hurt you. I just hit you because you seemed like you needed it, you know. And I can justify it. The mind can justify anything the will wants to do. The Americans wanted to break away from England because they wanted to be free and they didn't like the way England was treating them. They just wanted to, so they made up reasons that they could then say, Britain is evil, wrong, and bad, and we don't deserve it. Okay, you can make up anything you want. How many know that when you want to do something, you're going to do it? You're going to find a way, and your mind will help you, and your emotions will feel good. So your emotions depend upon your mind justifying what your will wants. It all goes back to the will. So there's nobody here that wills God's will. Even though you're a Christian, your will may be double. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So even though you're a Christian, you don't live like a Christian because the world is not seeing your good works and giving glory to the Father in heaven. How do we know that? Because the world's not doing it. That's how we know the bride isn't ready yet and Jesus can't come back yet. So these words are so amazing that all of a sudden, in the midst of all that I've just said, God cancels it all out and says these words, Nacham, Nacham. What's he saying? Comfort ye, my people. My people. I'm not talking about pagan nations. Comfort ye, my people. Why? Because I've forgiven all your sins. Declare to her that her warfare is ended. Her troubles are over. She doesn't have to be grieved anymore. I've forgiven all her sins. How many know that is not exactly what we were thinking God was going to say? Forgiven my sins. What did I do, Johnny? What did I do? What did I do? We're always so innocent. How many know that we can play? We are good at play acting. All of us are good actors and actresses. How many know that? What? What did I do? Did you touch that thing I told you not to touch? I don't think so. How many know that people lie? Especially little kids. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? Little kids will just lie. You put the cookie on the table. You tell them this is for later tonight. Do not touch it. You walk out of the room. The little kid goes over close to it. I will not touch that cookie. But then they look around to see if you're looking. And they touch that cookie. And pretty soon, they don't eat the cookie. Because they know you just told them not to. But what they might do is nibble a little bit off the edge. This cookie is good. And it inspires in them a desire. It inspires in them a desire, though you just told them don't do it. Our daughter Cara did that. We would bake a cake. Mama doesn't like me talking about the kids, but I love those examples because they're the only ones I know. But, you know, we'd make a nice cake, and Cara would turn the cake around, eat the back off of it, and then turn it back. You know, and then if I would tell the kids, okay, you don't get up from this table till you eat all of your peas. I don't like peas. You sit there until you eat them all. So an hour and a half later, you don't move. You eat those peas. So what they were doing was pretty soon the plate was empty. And I went, well, good. You did good. Good. And then I found out years later what David was doing was spitting them out into his hand and putting them up underneath the table. Not because it was his idea. It actually was Kirsten told him how to do that. And Cara told Kirsten how to do that. So they were handing down these things to break the law and teaching the kids to fill up our table, which now was loaded with fungus. Now, we're all like kids. We're all like that. All of us can justify what we've done, or we can forget it. You know, I don't even remember. I don't remember that. We can all do that. But you know what? God remembereth everything. He knows all things. But the minute he forgives you, it's forgotten forever. Now, here's how he does it. Here's how he does it. He says, that law that I gave you, don't. Actually, that wasn't for you. That was actually for Jesus. He didn't. And he did the right thing and avoided the wrong thing for you. Therefore, you didn't. because Jesus is you. He represented you. He took that on for you. And when you did wrong, since it was you, he took it and said, I want to die for Jim so that Jim doesn't have to die. So Jesus showed me mercy by dying for me so that it was me. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose, I rose. When he ascended, I ascended. And when he reigns, I reigns. Now, if Jesus is my life, not just knows my life, but is my life, then I'm perfect. Do y'all see that? Now, I know it only starts out with spirit, and then it still isn't my soul yet, but it's becoming my soul. And the way I'll know that my soul is dead is when I don't care about anything anymore except God. Now, how many know we're probably not quite there? We're probably not right there. There are times when you really want still in this world to get something. There are times in this world when you still think life is in life. Young people particularly think, if I could just get, you know, away from home, be on my own, get my own car, get my own boombox, get my own stuff, I would be a lot happier. But I have to do what my folks say as long as I'm there, so I can hardly wait to get my own place. How many know that young people think that? And then once they get their own car and the boombox and everything else, they learn something else. You thought your parents were tough. The police feel that what you're doing, driving all over the road like you're doing, they don't feel that that's correct. And when you go into a store and you just pick up stuff, they feel that's not right. You have to go to the counter and pay for it. And you'll find there are so many rules in this world. You thought your parents were tough? You know nothing about this world. This world has a gazillion laws, and you're going to break a whole bunch of them. And so you're never going to find that freedom you wanted. There's only one way to get free. Confess all your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. Confess all your sins. I did it. I was evil. God, forgive me. I do. Finished. Now, Lord, now I submit to you. Finished. Now I'm dead to myself. Myself is dead. Myself is no longer willing to be me. It's no longer I that live. Christ liveth in me. It's no longer I that live. Christ liveth in me. It's no longer I that live. Christ liveth. Nevertheless, I live. He lives in me, and that's why I live, because he's alive, so I'm alive. This life is done. My old man is done. My new man is now living. Now, the life I now live, I live by the faith that's belonging to the Son of God. In other words, my faith is in him. The same faith as Savior is the same faith as Lord, is the same faith as him perfecting me. Now, do you all believe, we're not talking about obedience now, do you all believe that when the trumpet blows someday, blows, and the whole world will hear it, that you will be perfected in that moment? That means the Lord's coming back, not only to take his bride, but he's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that's the only one he's coming back for. And that you will now have a new body and a new soul and a new spirit. You'll be spirit, soul, and body perfect. How many believe that? Now, how many believe you're going to help out? Okay, good. You're not. You're not. You have nothing to do with that. All you can do is keep saying to him, Lord, in my soul today, I had a lustful thought. I had an angry thought. I was jealous. I was bitter. I wanted vengeance. Okay, that's all you can say on a daily basis. But I know it's not me, because it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. So this old me is dead, and I reckon it dead. Reckon yourself dead unto Christ, dead to this world, and alive unto God. So every day you have to reckon yourself. Well, I reckon I'm a new man. Okay, that reckoning is not only Texan, but it's heaven. And there's not a lot of difference between Texan and heaven. It's very, very close. So God is teaching us a new language, which is the language of reckoning ourselves dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. How many here are then already perfect in him? We are complete in him, even though it doth not yet appear. Even though you just saw yourself tell a lie, you're not a liar. Even though you just saw yourself, felt yourself, knew it, I said this, thought this, felt this. Even though it's not you, it's your old man. The law was written for the old man to kill it, which Jesus took. Now the new man is the one he gave you in its place. He is your life. The same one that was the Savior, merciful, is the same one that is the Lord, powerful. He's the one that will change you from one degree of glory to another. So, Naham is this. Be at rest. Be at peace. It has nothing to do with you. This is why you can rest. Don't labor. Don't work at this. Don't help me. Don't do anything. I've done it all. And I will continue to do it until you are perfected. And I will leave you in this world, an imperfect world, until you begin to know that you know that you know that you are a believer. And you are a believer who is also a disciple. And you are a disciple who's also a lover. And God hath done it. To God be the praise, the thanksgiving, the glory. You cannot change yourself. Feeling bad about what you've done will not help. How many know in the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm not picking on them, but in the Roman Catholic Church, if you do a sin and then you feel bad about it, that's called remorse. And you then not only feel bad, but then you go and you do the rosary and you come to church all the time and wash your face real good and go to Mass every day and so on. You're at least working your way back, and they credit you with that because you made a change. God hates those works, and he hates that you were sad for a few seconds. He didn't want you sad at any time. He wanted you to rejoice always. And again, I will say rejoice. Why? Because you didn't do it. Though you sinned, he died for that sin. That was his job. Jesus' job was to keep all the law for you, for you, for you, for you. And therefore, his job was to then offer you the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need power to change yourself. You can't do it. So you need the Holy Spirit to do it in you and through you. That is, to will and to do. That's how your old life is made new, and you actually can walk and talk in a new way. Now, I've preached this for who knows how long, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I'm sure it's 40. I'm sure it's 45. I don't know how long I've been in the ministry. And it doesn't really work. It's not really a good message. It doesn't have an impact on people, but I'm just telling you it's the truth. And it's the only truth that'll set you free. So if you do get a hold of it today, I didn't do it because I've been ineffective for years. But I'll tell you, God is so powerful. The truth is going to set you free. And there's always one. And this is the truth. There's always somebody every Sunday who gets something. Maybe you didn't, but somebody else did. And because you're selfish, you only thought about yourself. But the truth is, you should have been praying for that other person because they got it. Somebody always gets it. Now, did anyone get it today? Did anyone get it? Okay, just stand up and give a little testimony so that everybody's edified. Somebody got it today. I mean, the Holy Spirit spoke to you. The Holy Spirit, in a huge way, said, it's clear now. All of a sudden, I see it. I don't have to labor. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You don't have to labor any longer. Be Naham, Naham. Be comforted, be comforted. Your warfare is over. Your grieving is done. There's nothing now but happiness, joy, and peace. There's nothing but thanksgiving, praise, and adoration. There's nothing left for you to do but celebrate your God and walk in the way of the Lord. Look, there's another word that I didn't read to you, and that's the second half of the first verse, which says, and this word in the Hebrew language is gafal. Okay? So gafal is tell her, Jerusalem, tell her, the bride, she's going to see her God that's coming. But tell her that her warfare is ended, but also tell her that her sins have been forgiven and paid for, fully paid. Kafal means to fold. Now, if I had a piece of paper Do we have anything? Anything, just fold it over. Yeah. When you have an indictment against you, it used to be tacked on the prison door. Jim committed murder, and he has to be in for life. Okay, that would be printed on there. That was my debt that I owed to society. When someone came along, not me, because I can't reach outside and get this piece of paper. I have nothing to do with it. When someone comes along and says, paid in full across it, that is kafal or kafel. It's the same word in the Hebrew. It means tell her that the double, not just double, not just she owed 10 cents and 20 cents was paid. It's actually the double, which means the fold over. That here's the indictment against you. It's just been folded over. It's nailed now to the cross. Therefore, the prison door is opened and you're free to go out anytime you want to. If you happen to stay in the prison, that's your choice. But it's been opened for you. There's no reason for you to walk in sin any longer. There's no reason for you to now run the show any longer, to try to be independent and play God and know what good and evil is. Go to God. Let God do. He's the one that just redeemed you. He's the one that just paid in full. When Jesus was on the cross, he shouted out this word in Greek, which is the same word in the Hebrew that I just said, kafale. He said, tetelestai, in Greek, not in Hebrew. He yelled it out in Greek, which means paid in full. I did everything required to save all mankind. I'm not only saving the Jewish people that are believers, I'm saving anybody that believes. It's been folded over. A fold is like when you sew something and you put you double it. That's all it means. Paid the double. It doesn't mean paid double. It means folded over because it's been paid in full, and you write that across it. You write that right across it. Paid in full. He's free to go. Anytime you want, you're free not to sin. How many know you don't make provision for sin? Well, I know I'm going to sin today, so let me see what's the best way I can sin. No, you don't have to know you're going to sin. What you can know is, I'm going to walk in the Lord today. And if you do sin, he'll forgive you because it's already been paid, because Jesus paid for all your sins forever. You don't have to even look at him. You don't have to worry about who's going to pay. It's paid. God is not mad. God is not angry. Naham, you are forgiven. Don't be grieved. Don't be sorrowful. Don't be sad. Don't be working at this. Stop laboring. You're free to go. Just remember who you are. You are the beloved of God. God has loved you through Naham and Kafal. He has loved you in such a way, and this is what he said, say to Israel, tell Israel this. To this day, Israel has never believed these words. She has never been Naham. She's never been at peace. She's still laboring. She's still working. Every time two Jewish people who are Orthodox, extreme Orthodox, meet each other, they have to say these words. Are you keeping Torah? Are you walking in Torah? And the other one answers, well, doing the best I can. I had a little bacon last Thursday, but you know, I decided that was wrong. I'm working at it. That is labor. You're still thinking you're helping God out and pleasing God by that good work. No, it's not pleasing in his sight. What God wants is for Jesus Christ to be the one that paid, not you. Doesn't want you to pay because you can't pay. You don't have enough to pay. It's double whatever you have. It's more than what you have. He paid a debt you could not pay. He set you free. You were set free 2,000 years ago. The whole world was set free 2,000 years ago. So what? So you could live in sin and then still be saved? No. He set you free so that you could then no longer walk in sin. You could walk in the Lord. You could truly have heaven on earth where people could see it and give glory to the Father, which is in heaven. This is a new day. We are to be the light of this world, the salt of this world. You are the light. You are the salt. But if the light in you be darkness, if you're hiding it under a bushel, nobody's benefited. That's the problem today. We still haven't seen how big this was, how much his mercy was that he put it all on Jesus, and now the debt's been paid. There's nothing more to pay. Walk in newness of life. You need to laugh. You need to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will not sin if you're laughing. Most of you are still sad as though that pleased God. Well, look, she's a sinner, but she's at least looking sad. That doesn't please God. Well, she's at least paying for it. I see she's not going to that bad place anymore. That doesn't please God. What pleases God is that Jesus Christ died, and he rose, and he now reigns, and he's living in you, and you're a branch inside his vine, and you're bearing fruit so that God may be glorified. The world hasn't seen that yet. The world is not seeing the church today as their hope. They think they can get knowledge of good and evil off the tree themselves without coming to God's people. But God's people are the salt, are the light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are. And in the Greek, when it says the definite article, you are the salt and there is no other. You are the light and there is no other. Salt is truth that convicts. Light is love that, I tell you, it sets people free when they see that. They just realize, wow, I'm not like that. I don't love like that. I don't have unconditional love. The unconditional love that I have for my wife is no matter what she says or what she does, I love her, period. I'm never going to change. I'm not going to leave. I'm not doing anything. She is the best. She's a gift of God. God showed me that in the scripture. And when I saw that, I realized I don't have to work that up. I don't have to try to find it in me. There is no rock in me. I need to realize that is Jesus Christ. He gave me Peggy as the perfect wife for me. Not fixed up, not looking perfect. Just be whatever you are. I don't want her to be what I want her to be. I want her to be what she is, just as she is. Sometimes she hugs me, that's nice. Sometimes she doesn't, that's nice. Sometimes she's nasty and mean, that's nice. Sometimes she's demonic and devilish, that is nice. Sometimes she's kind and gracious, that's nice. Do y'all see? What I'm saying is, it doesn't make any difference because she's not my God. She's not the one I'm looking for. God has already satisfied me, taken care of me. I don't need her to be anything. She can be whatever she wants to be. That's a gift of God. I won't change. And if she doesn't look like the gift, I'll translate and retranslate until I say, did you just say you loved me? No, I didn't. And I'll just translate what she said. Okay, when you said, no, I didn't, you meant, I love you so much. Lord Jim, you are such a blessing. Now, because I do that, it actually irritates her. But because I do that, it tells me, do not react to her. Act in him toward her. Don't react to her. Don't give her what she deserves, what she needs, whatever. I don't know good and evil. All I know is she's the best. You see that? I know now what good is because God said, that's your wife. She's the best. Take her as she is. Don't have her fixed up. You weren't fixed up when I found you. Therefore, don't fix up. Just leave it. So everything is pleasing to me. My enemies are pleasing to me. Do you realize I bless my enemies? Why? They don't scare me. I'm not afraid of them. I don't want the right president to win. I don't care who wins. In this world, God is in charge. I'm not worried about it. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Now, he has told me things, so what? It doesn't matter what I happen to know. You can have foreknowledge of what's going to happen. But it doesn't matter. You need to rejoice no matter what. Why? That's who you are. You need to be happy in your relationship right now. It's perfect as far as God is concerned, even though it doesn't look perfect. It doth not yet appear. It doesn't have to appear right now. We walk by faith, not by sight. But when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him and know him as he is. Our beloved has guaranteed everything in the world, even though there's evil and darkness everywhere. You're the light. The darkness can't put out the light. The light puts out the darkness. I don't care how much darkness you bring into this room, light will prevail, regardless if it's just a match. A little match can still stop the darkness. The darkness can never quench the match, the light. The light that's in you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the light of the world. I thought he was the light of the world. Yes, but he that is the light of the world, is now one with you. He has joined himself to you as adopted into the family, born into the family, and married into the family. You are his wife. You are his bride. He's coming back for you. You will be perfect. He promised. He swore. He cannot lie. The best has been saved to the last. I'll just close with this. This is my 18th close. This year, 2012, it's almost over, 2 months left. This year, God is going to do, has already done, is in the process of doing, sometime this year, something that is so big, so enormous, even though it happened, you may not have known about it, or is happening, and you're not aware of it. It's big, bigger than Sandy. It's bigger than, you know, whatever people have been telling me so far. It will change the world, not just the United States, not just Texas, the whole world. But it's going to happen right here. It's going to start here spiritually. Sandy is out there in the world, you know, big storms, earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, all that stuff. That's nothing. God said that will be in the last days before I come. It'll be the beginning of sorrows for people because it'll shake the whole world. That he could just take one-third of the United States and if he wanted to, wipe it out. Anytime he wants to, he can do anything he wants. Not doing it. He's just telling us, it's time. Get ready. He's talking not to the world, to the church. He's talking to the church. The world is listening. The church is not. The church is not listening to what God is doing. It's time for the bride to separate from the harlot. It's time for the wheat to be separated from the chaff. We need troubles, problems, difficulties. Why? Because the way we face them is different than the way the lukewarm faces them. When we face a trouble, we rejoice. When we face difficulty, we laugh. We just turn our back on our problems, laugh at them. Well, you know, no problem. Jesus will take care of it. No problem. I'm going to make it because I'm his beloved. When you know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you, and by the way, there is no Christ except the one that's in you. I'm going to say that again so you understand what I just said. There is no such thing as Jesus Christ. There is only Jesus Christ in you, for you, through you. God the Father does not see a Jesus Christ any longer apart from you. He only sees one in you, through you. That's the only Jesus there is. We just changed heaven. That was God's will. God always wanted to have many sons coming to glory before there was a world. He always said, I'm going to have sons. And even though he never forces, he's going to have his way. So you are chosen. You are designed for this moment. Can you imagine that? Why God would pick you? I mean, he's not very choosy. It could have been a better age, more noble people at some point. But no, he's choosing us, anybody, just anybody. Especially people who aren't afraid to confess their sins and who aren't afraid to confess also their righteousness. You are the righteousness of Christ. In the spirit, every day in the soul, every day in the body, but not yet fully perfected or finished. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what the baptism is. A lot of Christians don't think they need the baptism. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is not just being born again. It's also being filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, so that everything is spiritually done. All your deeds are wrought in God. Therefore, you come into the light. The best has been saved to the last. I hope you know who you are, why you're here, where you came from, and where you're going. Because God is about to display, he's about to come down, roll up his sleeves, and come down himself. We didn't get to this part today, but behold your God. You will see God again. With your eyes. You will see him with your eyes. Hasn't been seen now for a long time. But he will come back. He is coming back. Coming back soon to gather his bride, to judge the wicked, throw the devil into a pit and all that stuff. He's going to do all that stuff. Restore Israel to her former glory. Separate the bride from the whore and all this stuff. Right now he's just calling for his church. Let judgment begin in the household of God. He's calling you to be bridal. Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's prepared? Who's saying, you know what, Lord? I don't even know what you're talking about, but whatever it is, do it. Because it sounds right. It sounds like truth. It sounds like I don't know how to eat of that tree, but I'll tell you what, do it. Just go for it. And I'm not going to get in your way. I'm going to accept the truth, which will set me free forever. Nacham, relax, rest, be at ease. Don't work, don't worry, it's all been done. The double has been folded over. It's been paid. Don't worry about any debt. You owe nothing. You are pure, perfect, spotless. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. You won't do it. Don't help him out. Don't help him. Please, 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 please don't help him. Nobody here, be sincere. Don't be sincere. Just be you. Just be what you are. You are a complex soul. You are a complex person. How many know that people are full of contradictions? And even now, you can't be like, I got it forever. Okay, I don't trust you. I trust no man. Why? I don't trust any prince or any leader or any ruler. I mean, unless they're pastors. But other than that, I'm not trusting anybody else. How many know you can't even trust pastors? Daniel, don't forget that. You can't trust pastors. You can trust no man. Put your trust in the Lord. Cannot lie. Everything he said he'd do, he'd do. Everything he said would happen, it will happen. It is happening, and now the best has been saved to the last. The best wine is about to be brought out. You know what I told you? This year he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit. This is how he's going to do it. He's going to pour out his wine. It's going to burst all the wine skins. All the denominations, Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopal, Presbyterian, etc., etc., etc. All of them, Catholic, they can't contain the wine. But he's going to pour it out anyway. Then the wine will be lost and the wine skin. And then he is preparing today, now, new wine skins that will expand and ferment. When that fermentation takes place, they will expand. Why? Because you won't be in charge. You won't put a finger to it. You won't call it Lutheran. You won't have your handprint on it. Don't touch it. The glory of God is his own. This is his day to perfect everything, pull it all together. It's the day of the Holy Spirit. It's the day of the Holy Spirit. When he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, young children, old men, dreams, and so on. It's already happening, by the way. I just don't know exactly what he's talking about, and I don't want to. I'm not even curious. I don't care. I just know God is about to do something to set aside his people as a light to this world, as salt to the earth, so that all the world may take hope. Nacham, nacham, kafal. It's all been paid for. Paid in full. Can't turn back. Let us pray. God, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your perfect will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We know how it's done in heaven. How will you do it on earth? Through us. It's your mystery. It's the mystery of righteousness. That mystery which was hidden for ages but now is revealed to us. We understand that you are God. We are not. You are the living God. Holy, merciful, mighty. Holy in creation, merciful in redemption, mighty to finish, perfect, and bring to a close your church, your bride, without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Are weak. He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.